Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the 52nd episode of Why Are People Into That? The podcast that's got to pick up every stitch. It's Halloween season, so naturally, my guest this month is Kristen Corvette, aka Kristen Soleil. You might remember her in Tarot Bang episode about her new book, Witches, Sluts, Feminists, a project that I creative directed. In this episode, we explore everything that's hot about witches and everything that's hot about being a witch. Okay, speaking of magical manifestations, I really want to put out into the universe that I want to hit my Patreon goal of $500 a month before the end of 2017, and I'm still around $100 short of that. So listen, if you enjoy the show and you can afford to pledge $5, $10, $25 a month or more, you will get access to episodes early, you will get extra audio from my workshops, and you'll have a chance to have a more personal relationship with my work. I want to thank my patrons Charles, Tonya, Lisa, N8, Jeffrey, Lily Coder, Ben with two N's, Ben with one N, Onishi Press, Lance, and Esther, who recently gave me some really helpful Patreon feedback. More shoutouts to come. Visit patreon.com/TINAHORN to support indie queer media. Okay, so once you've done that, head on over to tinahorn.net/live, L-I-V-E, where I'm keeping things much better updated about my events. And you can always follow at tinahornsass on Twitter and Instagram. For example, on the live event tip, this Thursday, October 5th, is the latest Why Are People Into That Live at the East Side, New York City, Pleasure Chest. My guests are none other than Kristen Corvette herself, as well as Katie Skelly, who is the author of this fucking amazing new graphic novel from Fantagraphics called My Pretty Vampire, which I'm completely obsessed with. So listen to this episode, get a little taste of blood, and then satisfy all of your dark desires by hanging with us in the flesh. Tickets are available at tinahorn.net/live, including bottomless wine and refreshments and 15% off all your sex toy shopping. Then on Wednesday, October 11th, I'm teaching a special Halloween-themed free workshop about sexy costumes and fetish gear. Also at the East Side Pleasure Chest. You guys get that this is my thing now, right? Okay, I'll see you there. Speaking of the Pleasure Chest, they are doing a big gift with purchase promotion this month. You can get a free, small Pleasure Chest lube with the purchase of a Jeju vibrating bullet. That vibrator comes in Classic, G-Spot, and Rabbit, so treat yourself to a new style and lube it up. Or, when you get your hands on the powerful Wee Vibe Tango Vibe, you can also get a free Dusk attachment for anal exploration or Glow attachment for G-Spot stimulation. Also, if you're in LA on October 5th, come join Tristan Taramino and Lynn Cornella in celebration of Lynn's new book, Vibrator Nation, which I just finished reading and is totally indispensable and amazing. The full lineup of free workshops is always available at PleasureChest.com. And when you attend one of those awesome events, don't forget to let Pleasure Chest know that you heard about the workshops on this here podcast. So now, straddle your vibrating broomstick and fire up your smudge stick as we explore, why are people into witches? Kristen Corvette, thank you so much for being here to talk about all kinds of dark, depraved, magical things.
Thank you for having me.
So Kristen is the author of a new book called Witches, Sluts, Feminists, Conjuring the Sex Positive, or the Hex Positive, if you will. Will you give us just like a little elevator pitch about the book? I know we've done a different segment about it that hopefully people will listen to, but if they haven't, what should they know about the book?
Absolutely. It's tracing the lineage of what I like to call witch feminism from the early modern era through today. And it's a primer. It's short and sweet, but goes deep. like I like it. And no, I like it a little longer, actually. But anyway, the book, yes, we're talking about the book. It is either a feminist perspective on the history of the witch or a witchy perspective on the history of feminism. And there's art and literature and music and pop culture and... each chapter takes a different angle to undress the legacy of the witch in different ways.
Fantastic. And this is not your first foray into writing and exploring the, well, I was going to say the legacy of the witch. That's a little on the nose. this is certainly not your first time exploring or experimenting with witchcraft. This year is your third year of doing Legacy of the Witch, which is like a variety show, burlesque, performance art, metal bands, vendors, all kinds of stuff. Also fundraiser for RAIN, the Rape, mm-hmm. Abuse, and Incest National Network. And then... this is also your third year teaching a class on female sexuality, and which is also called The Legacy of the Witch, mm-hmm. at the New School, also here in New York City.
Yep.
And you are the founder and editrix of the Sluttist blog, sluttist.com, which is how we met. You interviewed me for your website, and just an amazing all-around slut about town.
Aw. Why, thank you.
And so I thought it would be only appropriate to have you here today and ask you the question, why are people into witches?
Yes, that is a fantastic question. And my first answer would be, in a way, she always reflects the beliefs of her beholder.
Mm.
And I think people really like that. So people are into witches either because they're scared, mm. or they're attracted, or they're
or
unsure.
Both.
Right, exactly. It's always like a little fear mixed with disgust and arousal. You know, that's very Christian thing, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
So, you know, she's either like a horrible satanic hag that you're sort of closing your eye but peeking a little, you know, to grasp her form. Or she's a magical, wonderful, warm, enticing enchantress, or a wise woman, mm. or a scholar. So many different archetypes are within the witch umbrella, and so the very black witch umbrella. And I think that's why people are into witches, because, and I say she because I do believe there is a, you know, unbreakable tie between femininity and the witch because of the history. But man, witches can be of any gender identity and anywhere.
Absolutely.
On any spectrum. And so I think in that sense, the witch is so all purpose in a way, you
yeah.
know?
It's like a multi-purpose knife.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Cool. That is very persuasive and beautifully, beautifully put. Let's break this down a little bit. So, you know, a lot of the subjects that we talk about on Why Are People Into That end up being sort of like, why is it sexy to be this thing,
hmm.
or do this thing, and why, and then also why is it, why are people attracted to other people who are this thing or do this thing? So let's start with being, like, what is sexy about being a witch?
Oh yeah. Well, first I'll break it down into the two kinds of witch identities. There's those who practice witchcraft or some form of alternative spirituality that identify as witches. And then there are those who might not do that, but find this sort of sensual primal power with the witch archetype and still consider themselves witches, because truly magic, you know, is shifting perception and consciousness, and that happens through sexuality, whether you like it or not. Like, whatever you believe, that's happening when sex acts are happening, you know?
True.
So
true.
Yeah. I mean, for that reason alone, it's sexy as fuck to be a witch.
Yeah.
And a lot of witches practice sex magic. And what is, you know, more sexy than harnessing this energy for greater good, for manifestation, for whatever you want in your life, or just for having a good time, obviously.
Yeah.
So I don't know what gets sexier than that. I don't know.
Absolutely. Then what is attractive to people who aren't necessarily witches about witches?
Yeah, I think there's that mysterious, what power does that, let's just say, woman or femme, you know, person hold?
Yeah.
And when will it turn on me? You know, what kind of energy can I draw from it?
Yeah.
I think there's always that attraction to the dark and the unknown.
Yeah.
It's sort of a return to the blackness of the womb or something.
Or deep space.
Yeah, deep space. Anything that's sort of pre-verbal. And there's that aspect of incantation and the sort of language of sex, which is its own, you know, way to communicate.
Yeah.
It's not always like full sentences in an essay.
No.
Mostly no, it's not.
No, nor should it be.
No. As you know, as an expert.
I mean yeah, both as an essay writer, a maker of sentences, and a disavower of sentences in the heat of the moment.
Right. Yeah, I mean, your sexting book is like a bunch of spells.
Oh, that's very flattering.
That's what it is. I mean, that's, you have to have the right language in place and the right colors with your emoji and your right signs, you know, to get the desired result.
Yeah.
You can't just put whatever out there, you know? So that's the same thing as casting a spell. And so I think there's it's hard to even draw the line between what's magic and what's sexuality and witchcraft, and in a certain sense like that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, spelling, you know, like like language, spelling, glamour, grammar.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yep.
That also makes a lot of sense that that in a way that being attracted to the witch is about being attracted to this sort of mysterious primal power and wanting to know it and be known by it, even if it means like being consumed by it or being obliterated by it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's really erotic.
Yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. Why isn't there more witch porn?
There should be. Well, Matrice Madeline Marlowe is making some like serious satanic porn these days. Have you seen any of her clips? I'm gonna show you. She was just making, well, you know, because now that she's not shooting at the, so she shoots for kink.com, but that she's not shooting at the Armory anymore, although they did a Crucible parody gangbang.
Nice.
And now that she's not shooting like in the Armory anymore, she's doing a lot more on-set stuff. Like Susie Q did this like Red Bride thing where they like, I actually don't know how they like dyed like an entire pool in LA red, and she like dyes her wedding dress in the red in the pool, and then like, you know, has like a pentagram on the floor with candles and stuff.
Holy,
and then like
fuck.
And then they're just doing this like this thing where they like made this huge pentagram in the desert, and they're doing this like post-apocalyptic porn. So I, you know what? I've got what you're looking for.
I mean, I've definitely seen some satanic porn or whatever, but nothing that sounds like that. So yeah. This is next level shit. This is awesome. I can't wait.
How would you define magic?
An act of shifting consciousness at will. Is that stolen from Dion Fortune or something? I forget. I think so.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So with that definition in mind, let's talk about sex magic.
Yeah.
What are some ways to practice sex magic?
Well, there's the way of reading up about it and then, you know, making decisions on a certain moon cycle to do this, that, and the other. And that's fine and good. But I feel like going with the intuitive work is always the best. That's how I found it initially in my own childhood.
Mm.
Not by reading or just sort of feeling my way there, so to speak.
Yeah.
And, of course, it does not require a partner. Solo sex magic is some of the most productive kind I've found.
Awesome.
Because you're not getting other energies in there. I mean, to be fair, you can amplify your own with other people. But yeah. Sometimes it's nice to just have your intentions alone building and building.
Any excuse to constructively masturbate.
Exactly. Definitely used some to get this book deal and it worked.
I've heard that. So would it, break that down for us. Like, what does that mean that you used masturbation magic to get a book deal?
Well, let's just say that it's like setting an intention, but you put so much energy behind it because everyone knows when you're coming or something. Not that that's the only way to have sex magic. You don't have to have the release, but let's just talk about orgasms. You know,
let's talk about orgasms.
You can't think about a bunch of stuff when you're coming. You're not like, oh, I need to do this, that. And it just doesn't. Maybe during sex, yes, but you cannot at the moment of orgasm. It's been proven that the parts of the brain shut down.
Awesome. One of the best things about it.
Yes. So if you have this desired goal, and
like getting a book deal, for example.
Yeah, keeping it in your mind while you're going at it, in that final moment, there is so much energy built and released. Even if you don't believe in anything beyond yourself, I feel like it's a powerful tool just to really underscore your goals.
Yeah.
So, but if you believe in universal reciprocity and energies and all that and other kinds of magic, then you're really sending out a message with your intention through your orgasms.
Yeah, I mean, this is a concept that has always appealed to me as a curious pragmatist. Mm-hmm. You know, like I often joke, and like I was joking before, you know, I have strong Mulder and Scully elements. This concept of sex magic always appealed to me in the sense of like, well, you know, like, do you believe in things that you can't see or that there's no empirical evidence of,
right,
et cetera, et cetera. But like, also that couldn't hurt.
Right. Right. I mean, there's a lot of things they haven't quite proven. Like, let's say, I don't know, like acupuncture
the why waves work. I mean, you know, just to be like all about the moon.
Yeah, and, you know, absolutely. They're all, I mean, and that's, acupuncture is weird. I know there's science that proves certain things, but
people, there's also a lot of skepticism.
Yes, absolutely.
It.
Right. So if you're one of those people that doesn't care if it's a placebo or if it, I mean, but if you have enough positive experiences from it, you know, like making goal lists, like,
right,
people do that. And that's the same thing. That's like writing
vision
a spell
boards
for your attention. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's so silly that that's okay. And that's been accepted, you know, to do, but it's still a little wacky to jerk off and, you know, think about something you would like to achieve.
Well, I mean, obviously the self-help industry, whether it's books or coaching or both, or now like, you know, like videos and podcasts and media, I mean, there's a reason that those things are so profitable and popular, you do sometimes get results from, you know, having somebody focus you in on sort of like creating a, I don't know, like creating a correlation from a causation or a causation from a correlation, right? Say like, if you, I don't know, I'm even thinking about like Marie Kondo's, like life-changing magic of tidying up, right? Yeah, the idea of that if you can create order in your life, that that will bring happiness into your life.
Yeah.
Is totally, it is, I mean, it's magical thinking, right? Yeah. And yet, it's a powerful way to manifest. I mean, if it makes you happy, you know, like, if it works, it works.
Yeah.
And like, just because you can't, like, use the scientific method to prove it, doesn't discredit it.
No, and you could argue that we just don't have the tools to even study that sort of thing right now with where we're at
scientifically. And maybe we never will.
Right, exactly. And
I mean, like, people are definitely not comfortable with ambiguity.
No, it's like the whole getting a haircut after a breakup. Like,
right.
Think of all the magic you can conjure just by that. That's simple, but that's, you know, aesthetic. That's definite.
Oh my God, that's a really actually a very good example. Or getting a haircut just to like shake things up or change things. Yeah, shave your head when you get to college and you're a grown up now.
There's so much symbolism. These acts, people do rituals all the time. People enact spells. They just don't necessarily know it.
Right. So in that case, it's like there's an intention, but it doesn't have to be an intention about the intention, right? Like you were saying, people do it, but they don't realize that they're doing it.
Right.
So it's not even necessarily a crucial element that you are saying, I am now having a ritual. I am now having a ceremony.
Yes.
Because I am doing this thing, I am going to fulfill my destiny or be like the, you know, mistress of my own destiny.
Yes.
Like it doesn't, you don't necessarily have to have that intention, but it's probably better if you do.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends. Obviously, I have some friends who are very, you know, they're initiated into different practices, and they would say, well, no, you should do it this way. And so I don't want to step on any toes, and obviously there's different beliefs all across the board. I'm personally into intuitive practices that are practical, and to me, reading, I love, you know, historical texts and grimoires and whatever, but I giggle a little if I read something that you're supposed to say and then this will happen. I'm like, okay, if I think of it myself and I'm like, yeah, I believe this, you know.
Yeah.
So it's the same kind of skepticism that led me to, you know, denounce sort of organized religion. Like I can't then jump to an organized witchcraft practice.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So it's obviously very powerful if you are very explicit in your practice, in both meanings of the word. But I think you don't have to be a part of a certain school of thought or read from a certain text. It can be all from within. That's why I think witchcraft is so powerful, because it can be so self-directed. You can be a solitary witch. You don't have to rely on certain grimoires or certain other people to initiate you into knowledge.
Yeah,
obviously that's wonderful and community is so important.
Yeah.
And I know other witches might disagree and say you have to follow this path and get to this level and that level and do all the rites and then you're allowed to be a witch. But I'm from a background, the women in my family are all sort of self-defined intuitives and you know, work with herbs and sort of their own wacky things they put together, cobbling from this and that and the other. whether it be even from, you know, Catholicism or from something they read in like a Deepak Chopra book, like
whatever works.
So for me, sex magic was very intuitive and natural, and masturbating all the time, thinking about things, you know, who's thinking when they're masturbating? I don't know. I was always like, this is a thing I really want to envision and put this intention out into the world while I'm jerking off.
Yeah.
Even if it's healing, or it's not always like, I need some money, you know, which is great too. Yeah. But there's a lot of more vague goals that you can achieve through sex magic as well. And then there's partner sex magic, which a lot of people do fantastic things with, but I like my own energy. I just like to not be so intentional with my fucking. I'm just like, maybe I'm just lazy. I'm just like, I don't want to focus on anything but just this pleasure, and that's it, you know. And also, you don't want to make everything about getting something else.
Or a project.
Yeah. Let's leave that to the solo times, you know. Because you really have to be in the moment. And if you're working with another person, you're not always going to want to, you're crafting. Not like, okay, I have this spell I need to enact. And you come home at 5, come over, and then we're going to do that. You know, that's not really.
Yeah. You got to get this kind of candle.
Exactly.
And we got to drink this kind of.
Right.
Potion, whiskey, right.
Mead.
Oh my god.
Obviously
mead. Okay, I need to study your book more to know.
There's no mead in the book. I only tried it once, actually.
So mead?
I was a mead virgin until very recently.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you identify as a witch?
I do, but it's kind of like that thing where identifying as a writer.
Sure.
You know, I feel like I have so much to learn and so much to grow into that I don't know if I am strong enough or knowledgeable enough or good enough to earn it.
Yeah.
And so that's weird, you know, to me. I know some people are very much like, yep, from day one.
Yeah.
But I don't know what else to say. You know what I mean? Like, at some point, you just gotta own these terms.
Yeah.
And there's so many ways to have terms on your own terms, you know? So,
well, that's kind of what the whole thing is about, right? I mean, especially this branch or tradition that you're talking about of being intuitive. And this is something that personally attracts me to this idea that it is, that these are practices that are not about fundamentalism, that are not about dogma, that are not about theocracy, and are definitely not about being puritanical.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's about intuition and nonconformity and making your own way, and also I mean, something that I've learned from reading your work is also the idea that witches of various stripes could be interested in community more than something more like a cult, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think that probably people would tend to think of, like, evil, seductive, villainous cults of, you know, Satanism, that, you know, with the metal music and the sacrificing of young children, right?
So,
but it seems like that's actually, like, totally like an ironic bad rap, because a lot of what I've learned from you about witches and Satanists is that it's not about, as you were saying earlier, like, inverting Christianity or reinscribing, you know, colonial patriarchal systems onto your own damn little organization. I don't know.
It's not creating new hierarchies. You know, it's not leaving old ones to just create new ones. That doesn't mean there aren't there, especially in a lot of covens. There are.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think everyone's a lot more, they know what's what, you know, and they're accepting of that willingly, as opposed to all the other systems we're in without choosing.
Right. It's about intentionally creating things. You know, that reminds me, you know, the word coven makes me think about the hashtag coven goals, right? So there's like squad goals and then coven goals, right? And so that makes me think about something that you do talk about in the book, which is the surge of popularity of the witch as a marketing device, right? And that you can go to Urban Outfitters and find all kinds of like, you know, deer skulls and, you know, that it seems to be trendy.
Yeah, it's like this spiritual industrial complex or whatever.
Spiritual industrial complex, of course, very well put. So what are your feelings about that? Why now? And how do we parse out what works for us about these things from what capitalism is just trying to resell back to us?
Yeah, and that's hard, and obviously I don't have the answers, and there's so much being careful about that you have to do when you're looking into this, like what's cultural appropriation as well, like what practices are these elements being stolen from or given from, or, you know, this is an ongoing discussion.
Yeah, or like what do we just think is like fun or funny or cute that actually is based on a cultural tradition that people have literally died for, not to mention like sweated for and created, and like meanwhile, you know, the people who have created these cultures that we just like pick and choose what we want because we find them cute, you know, these people are still, you know, and I'm specifically of course talking about, you know, people of color and trans people, like and, you know, and women in general as well, that these like fashion trends that that we might be consuming or that people might be consuming are like literally made on the backs of other people without recognizing any of the substance.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a problem with so many other things that Urban Outfitters is doing. So I touch upon briefly in the book, but
yeah.
So that's one side of it. And then there's the other side about accessibility, and there are elements of witch adjacent stuff that you would find there that if you are too scared or unable to go into a cult shop, if you're in some sort of community where you wouldn't even have one in your town, or you don't know what sites to go on the internet. I mean, I assume now like everything is accessible because like there's the internet, but not everyone even has the internet. You know what I mean? Let's be real. Not everyone has like a 24-hour access and knows where to go.
You know, there's this store on 43rd and Telegraph in Oakland, California that I used to live around the corner from. And it's called Ancient Ways. Mm. And I hope some people who can hear the sound of my voice know Ancient Ways. I've never been inside it. I used to live around the corner. And I think that I thought that it was a joke.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So and even though it had been around for a while and it's still there, a lot of shit has come and gone in Temescal, Oakland, since then. But it's still there. And, you know, and I worked in a head shop when I was growing up where we sold, like, Grateful Dead rugs and, you know, pewter dragon chess boards. And so, I, you know, in my mind, I think I always was kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, like, that's a, like, silly, like, Haight-Ashbury place where you can get, like, a, you know, like, a belly button piercing or, like, a Ganesh fountain that lights up you know, a lava lamp or whatever, and I'm sure you can get those things there. Those things keep the lights on. I don't know. There's like the hippie Haight-Ashbury store, and then there's also the like magic shop from the like book where, you know, you like come across it one day and then the thing that you bought is not, you know, is like, be careful what you wish for is like not, and so you try to go back but then it's not where it was the day before, you know, or like the magic shop in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, right? Like
something.
That they, you know, and these places are like fun but like ultimately like not to be taken seriously. They're like, I think I had a concept of them as being like Spencer's Gifts or,
right, they're not treated culturally with much respect, although I think that's changing now, because when I was growing up I felt a lot of the same way. There were cult shops that I didn't go into because I just associated with not serious, you know, like corny certain things,
right,
you know?
right
but at the same time, you know, that's where a place like Urban Outfitters maybe could have an item that would inspire someone to dig deeper and find things out about themselves and about a practice that might be healing or helpful.
Yeah.
So I can't totally say it's all horrible. And also, you know, trends happen for a reason. Trends, yes, people capitalize and try to make money off subcultures. But at the same time, maybe there's also a call and a need for certain forms of self-care or what have you.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure. Obviously, capitalism is the most driving engine here, but there's got to be some side, you know, aspects that could be positive.
The folks that do shock rubs, which are, if folks are not familiar, crystal sex toys, right? So the idea is whether it's like this little yoni egg or an insertable dildo, or they make butt plugs now, right? They're like made of different crystals, and supposedly like rose quartz has a different like power or energy or purpose than
obsidian or something.
Obsidian, right? Like, what could you do with a crystal dildo that you can't do with a magic wand? Which, you know, the magic of the magic wand is like, you know,
all electrical. Technically, if you should be able to use whatever tools are at your disposal to enact your magic.
Right.
But for sex magic purposes, I mean, some would say the properties of the crystal are going to heighten what you got going on.
Yeah.
And I always use chalk rubs in my own sex magic.
Good
so,
to know.
And there is a 10% discount if you use Sluttist10 to buy a chalk rub.
Well, so, there you go.
Enjoy that. It's the same thing I asked Melissa Madara, who owns Catland, one of the owners of Catland. I was asking her about digital magic, you know, digital spell casting. Like,
right.
Is there really a difference between texting an emoji spell and like writing it down or being out, you know, using certain items at your disposal if you live in nature versus like your computer? And she said, no, you know, this is...
They're just tools.
Exactly.
They're different tools.
Tools, you should be able to use them equally. So, and I think that's really fascinating because in my mind, I would have thought, no. Technology, hell no. You know, but think of the way digital spell casting and digital activism, which I think are kind of one and the same in a way, you know, like what decides that a hashtag is going to be trending? Like that is an expression of sort of collective will and consciousness.
Right, right,
like
right.
Some will never trend. Some will go far and influence representatives and maybe even change laws, change feelings, change national temperatures on certain issues. So
definitely
that's where I think it becomes complicated.
So if somebody is curious about embodying one of these witch archetypes, or maybe even coming to identify as a witch or form a coven or become involved in a coven or become initiated into one of these practices that you've spoken about, or just practice a little bit of sex magic.
Yeah.
What are some good places, besides reading your book, of course, for people to get started with that?
Well, actually, I will say I don't think there is too much for getting started in my book. So don't go there looking
I mean, I will say I'm somebody who, if I want to be involved in something, I want to do as much reading about it as
I
can.
Oh, fair.
So,
okay.
You know,
yeah.
And like I think that, you know, to what we were talking about with cultural appropriation, understanding the history, you know, not thinking that some notion that you get with that, like you're the first person to think of it. I mean, I thought I invented masturbation the first time I did it. Like I definitely was like, I'm gonna be rich, right? And look at me now. But you know, part of that is a lack of, you know, encouragement to have discussions of sexuality.
I stand,
you know,
corrected.
Yeah.
That I will say, you're
people
right.
Should read your fucking book.
Well, I'm not trying to discourage. I just meant there's not really a 1-2-3 guide, but you know what, you're absolutely right. Context is really important. History is important.
Yeah.
And I'm still, that's one reason why I'm all like, oh, am I a real writer? Am I a real witch? You know, because there's so much history that I still don't know and so many people I want to study with and all that.
Even witches have imposter syndrome, apparently.
Oh, they sure do. I mean, my mom, as like a great crone, has a lot of intuitive powers that she's had, you know, throughout my life, and would always tell me, like, you know, next week you're going to meet a man with blonde hair and he's going to tell you this. And things would always happen. And I can't explain it. And that's just rad. What happens. And I have never, no, I will not say never. I've had these things, but in different ways. And I've always been like, hey, mom, what's up? Like, where's my gift? And she's like, don't worry, it's coming in different ways.
Yeah.
And I think for that reason, mom was like, oh, man, like, I'm no good witch, you know. But there's so many ways of creating and shifting consciousness and perception. And that's creating magic. And that's fucking witchcraft. So, yeah, I'm doing it every day.
Yeah.
You know.
And hot. It's also really hot.
It's also hot. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that understanding the history and hearing lots of different perspectives, you know, I'm sure you can buy at Urban Outfitters, like, how to get started with casting spells kind of a book. But if you read about what other people are thinking and saying and doing, then that gives you the ability to form your own practice, which is and interpret it for yourself, which is actually what is in the spirit of the tradition, as opposed to like prescriptive.
Absolutely. Self-discovery.
Yeah.
What works for you is definitely not going to work for someone else. Like, I know people that love being in their coven that meets at this time, and they, you know, there's a hierarchy and they have texts that are sacred they must know and memorize. Yeah. You know, I don't, that's not for me.
Yeah.
And so I think that is the most important thing, finding out the witch you want to be.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, and that reminds me of BDSM, you know, that, you know, BDSM is all about like creating your own boundaries and limitations, and meeting, you know, yourself or other people, you know, one other person or many people, to with your desires, and then like putting lightning in a bottle, or like creating, like being able to like run rampant and like be agents of chaos, like within the parameters that you have set intentions for or agreed to, and that you can experience pain, confront darkness, like experience like fear, humiliation, or dark things, and have that be a dare I say empowering, but definitely powerful, and cathartic and constructive, productive way of playing with power, as opposed to the systems that we are that we like didn't necessarily agree to participate in, such as capitalism, such as patriarchy, such as colonialism. And so, yeah, so this idea that like you could, even though the idea of like, oh God, like I don't want to have a coven that like has rules, that sounds annoying, but it's like, no, man, like when you agree on, I mean, this is even true in jobs, right? Yeah. When people are like, oh, you know, like let's not have, you know, this like bro startup culture of like we don't really need like job descriptions. It's like, but then the people who have the most inherited social power are going to be the ones that have the most power within this undefined system. So why don't we have a conversation and figure it out? So anyway.
So all those things can be beautiful. And what the way you just described finding your own kinks and exploring that deep, dark place within is exactly what I think being a witch is all about.
Yeah.
There's no difference, because I feel like you have to go within to go without.
Yeah.
So.
And BDSM is also so much about ritual and ceremony and also a bit magic. Of like flair and pageantry and
great looks. I mean,
great looks,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that, embracing that is, it seems like part and parcel of the whole thing.
Absolutely.
So, tips about getting started.
Right.
Being a sex magician.
Well, The Art of Sexual Magic by Margot Anand is a very in-depth. It's a little on the hetero side, and there's some drawings that I'm like, oh, I don't want to look at that. But but the text is really, it has a lot of really detailed like positions and history and, you know, when to do what. But I feel like that might be even so, like, even I have never read through the whole thing, because it's not something I've been called to. But hey, you might be called to learn the ins and outs, you know, like that.
As it were.
Some people like to read all the guidelines before they play. Some people like to play a little, figure it out the other way, you know.
Totally, totally.
But beside that, I feel like the internet is the best place. And I think moon magic is a good place to start.
What is moon magic?
Oh, working with the cycles of the moon.
Oh, I get it. Oh, okay, cool.
So I think starting with moon magic is a really easy way to get in tune with nature.
And moon magic being like a practice, not like www.moonmagic.com.
Right. No. Just working with the moon and the cycles of the moon.
Cool.
Like new moons, tomorrow, I believe, is a new moon about putting new things into motion, building energy from a place where energy might not be, and then things come into fruition at full moons, you know, things like that. Those are very basic ideas, but it's something that happens every month.
Yes.
And you can look up in the sky and see this cool glowing orb, and it feels nice to be connected with the natural world.
Totally.
As we are supposed to be. It's this hilarious idea that there's a split between humans and the natural world. We do not own it. We are not, dominating it as much as we think.
Sure, like, absolutely.
Come on, humans.
No, it's topping the fuck out of us.
It so is.
Yeah, and it's mind-fucking us, too.
It so is. And I...
We're like bratty power bottoms. Oh, yeah.
Totally. And we think, oh, it's like all going to be about us saving or the earth is just going to go away. Like, okay, do you really think like humans just show up and then we ruin everything and then it's gone forever?
No, we're not that important.
No. Although we are hurting the earth, like, that's not cool. I'm just saying, I don't think there's any way we're going to totally undo the majesty of this natural world. So
that's comforting.
Yeah, that could be bullshit. I don't know, but in my feeling, I feel, how is it possible that we've been here for a speck of time? And I don't think that, it'll maybe, you know, all of us will be extinct. I think that's when people say save the planet, they're just worried about people.
Sure.
Like, they're not really worried about the planet. Like,
and you know that they're just gonna like blame witches when it happens.
Totally.
Too. They're gonna blame us for all that hairspray, all that aerosol hairspray we're using, especially in the 80s.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Susie Sue, it's all your fault.
Oh my God. Well, if we gotta go down for a reason, then I guess.
Another great witch. There's workbooks out there. Like, there's so many different ways to do so. I don't even wanna give one direction. I almost feel like your search will define the kind of magic you seek, so it doesn't matter what I think. It should be individually directed.
Well, the other thing that really strikes me about this is that it does seem like a beautiful opportunity to develop your confidence as you develop your consciousness. And that it might be like exploring and embodying the sexiness of the witch, like, might be about casting a spell while masturbating and might be sexual in that explicit way, mm-hmm. as you said, but also can be about, like embracing the power of femininity, mm-hmm. and, you know, that can be... It like in an archetypical or like primal sense, not in a strictly socially constructed sense, of course. And
absolutely.
You can be any gender and respect and embody the divine feminine.
Absolutely.
I feel like I've said the word embody a lot, but we were talking about witches. I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking about like exercises that that I've learned from Midori, who's an amazing kink educator, finding your like femdom persona by like thinking about like different archetypes or like what femme fatales like are you turned on by, and like how, you know, being turned on by them and like embodying them, which is a very queer thing to do, of course. That it could be about like casting spells with your orgasms, but it could also just be about like being like a powerful person, just like walking down the street or like attracting the, you know, the people that are actually compatible with you,
right.
And that means sexual partners and romantic partners, but also like your coven, your like your community, the your family, the people in your life, and that it is just like an anti-patriarchal tradition that is actually not new. It's as old as dirt.
Yes. And that's what makes it so beautiful and so powerful and so malleable and inclusive to anyone who chooses to go down that path. There's a place for you. Like, there are witch tribes for every witch. There's a coven for every witch.
Oh my God, that's beautiful. Well, on that note, I know that we could keep talking about this forever, and I have a feeling that we will. Mm-hmm. So if people want to get a copy of Witches, Sluts, Feminists, they should go to witchessletsfeminists.com.
That's right.
And buy it directly from you and get a signed copy and maybe a little bit of extra swag.
Oh, indeed.
Oh, and you also produced a tarot deck this year, right?
I did. It is... was conjured by Morgan Claire Serain. She drew and conceived of it, but Sluttist did produce it as the Sluttist Tarot, and it centers femmes, deviant whores, and sex workers.
Hell yes.
And it will be out in the next couple weeks.
Oh my God.
Yes.
This
yes,
is an
yes.
exciting month for you.
It is a very big month. Lots of energy coming full circle,
yes.
Lots of projects coming to a close, lots of new doors opening.
Lots
so.
Of productive jerking off.
Yes, it all has come to this.
Well, the proof is in the pudding.
Yep.
Well, I am, I'm so excited to get my eye back to the Kickstarter, which I guess like Kickstarter is a way to conjure things. That's
Absolutely.
Digital,
that's some digital
witchery.
Spell crafting for sure.
Well, I can't wait to use my tarot deck, and I can't wait to reread Witches, Sluts, Feminists over and over and be hex positive.
Indeed.
Thank you so much for talking about all of this wonderful witchy stuff on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. We will always conjure this magic when we get together, I feel like.
agreed. Thanks, Kristen.
Thanks, Tina.
Thanks for listening to episode 52. Follow at Tina Horn's Ass on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe on Acast, iTunes, etc. Take a few seconds to write a review and tell your friends about the show. It really helps people find it, and you must know that by now. Visit wirepeopleintothat.com to subscribe to our newsletter and listen to our entire archive. As ever, Wire People Into That is produced and hosted by yours truly, Tina Horn. Our theme song is by Vivid Windows from Oakland, California, and this project is supported in part by my generous, mystical patrons. Let everybody know that you are the weirdos, mister, by pledging patreon.com/TinaHorn. Until next time, I'll be painting my nails black and calling all four corners.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.